Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Thursday, July 20th, 2000. In the fireside room this morning, we have Stacy Kitahata. Today's session number is 2003. This morning, Stacy will be continuing her series, Diversity Dialogue, Learning Intercultural Communication. Today's title is Reflective Bible Study on the Theme Text. Let's listen in.
About a minute.
Okay. You can take a little power nap. Okay. And there goes the bus.
Take all the kids.
Yeah, full of kids.
All 542.
Yeah,
right.
Well, we'll be, let's see, how many are we? Three, four?
Well, I have to leave in a little while,
so. Oh, all right. Well, we'll make a group anyway. We're 10, 12, perfect. So we'll make one little group, okay? I was all ready for yesterday. There were like 50, so we had to make a few small groups, but let's have a prayer together, shall we? The peace of God be with you all. You come to us again and again, O God, and we are delighted and surprised each time. As you come to us in the stories and lives of one another and in the words of your scripture, may we consume and appreciate, digest, and celebrate the way you come to us, that you might become a part of us and we a part of you. We give you this time and our conversation and our study of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. The process that we use for Bible study of the theme verse is in both of these books by a friend of ours named Eric Law, and he's an Episcopal priest, Chinese-American, who lives in Vancouver, B.C., and in Palm Desert, California, both places. He's done this series of books, this one, the first one, The Wolf Shall Dwell with the Lamb, A Spirituality for Leadership in a Multicultural Community, and this one that is called The Bush Was Blazing But Not Consumed, he wrote after the LA rebellions, and using that fire image as a positive and a negative way of God's expressing God's self, developing a multicultural community through dialogue and liturgy. And then the one that just came out this month, already sold out, is called Inclusion, Making Room for Grace. And it's about how to put some of these principles into action in a community, like a congregation or some other organization. And in that, he talks about how we have our boundaries and our safety comfort zone, and then the world around us or the life around us that's sort of scary. I guess if you think about today's Bible study, we've got our boat and we've got the sea, and is there a little space between? And that's where we can make some room for grace. So we can explore further than our safety zone. So this Bible study is a part of that whole process. How do we enter into a relationship with the scripture that enriches us and that we learn from one another in our dialogue? So it's a simple process, and we utilize a process called mutual invitation. So were some of you in yesterday's session? Jordy's done this a couple times now. The way that it works is especially formed for groups with diverse ages, diverse experiences. People, maybe some folks would be college educated, some people not have yet passed the eighth grade or whatever, who might feel, well, maybe they should talk because they know more than I do, for whatever reason, right? And the way the process works is I will invite the first person, and then that person gets to invite the next person, and then that person gets to invite the next person. So everyone invites and is invited. And if we're working on a question that you don't want to answer and you'd like to pass, you can pass and you can still invite the next person, okay? So we'll get to know each other by name, and then we'll start with the scripture. And let's sit around here so we can have sitters on the floor and in chairs. And so why doesn't everybody get up, and we will make a nice circle here for 12 or so. I think we might be 13 now. Does everybody have a Bible. No. Or can you look onto one? Not everybody needs to have one. This is an easy Bible study. Not everybody needs a Bible. Great. Yeah, we're sort of aligned with you. Well, I'm Stacy Kitahata, and I'm here to do a series of different kinds of workshops, mostly around processes for engaging people in dialogue and in scripture study, and in conversation around all kinds of topics, but especially ways of communicating that would help people talk about touchy things that they may not be comfortable talking about in usual settings. So, you can introduce yourself however you'd like. Your name and anything that comes after that that you'd like to add on. And I invite you.
Hey, my name is Mark. I am a first-time visitor at Olden Village. I live in the Portland, Oregon area. I'm rather ashamed here. I don't know if there's anything more you want to hear from me.
You can pick, you can invite the next person.
Okay, I'll pick you.
I'm from Coos Bay, North Bend, Oregon, down the Southern Oregon Coast, and I'm here for about the 14th or 15th time, and have this place love, and I guess I'm a Works and Office Manager in a library, and I'm a diaper.
That's all you need to say. I'm from Kirkland, Washington, which is near Seattle. Went to PLU with these guys. I'm a teacher. All about you.
Okay. I'm Susan Gustafson from the Vancouver, Portland area, Washington, Oregon. And I'm a dental hygienist to my wife. I think this is living. This is living. And this is
I'm Jordy. And currently I'm residing in Clackamas, sort of, but I just finished seminary in Chicago, which is how I know Stacy and how I come to be here. And I'm going to take a break for a year and go to Switzerland. So it's my fourth time in Golden. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy to be here.
Mm-hmm. I'm Lynn Van, and I live in Seattle, in the National District. Mm-hmm. And my most recent new identity is being Albert's mom. Many people
know
that.
So cute, yeah.
I'm Molly, and here for the first time at Golden with my five-year-old son, at sort of the invitation of Roseanne. We were friends in Champaign, Illinois, where I still live, and she came to Golden, having been introduced to it by some other friends there, and so I've kind of had it in my mind all these years, we've been in the place to come.
I'm Diane, and I've come to Holden relatively newly to be on staff as the director with Janet, and I'm the director who knows nothing. She's the one that knows lots of things, and I'm currently in the absolute honeymoon stage of feeling so blessed to have been called here. I'm from Libya, and I have been really enjoying her.
I'm Chuck, I'm in California now, transplant from Minnesota, and Holden is my sickness, so I get here every year. Dan.
I'm Dan, I'm from Vancouver, Washington. I work for a newspaper in Portland. And when I was a kid, I always hated church camp, but this is fine.
Church camp for grown-ups.
Yeah. And
I'm Paul, and I come to Holden with my wife almost every year since 1980. And we love it here. And it's a place where we're going to hold family reunions probably forever.
Who do you invite?
My name's Mike. I'm from Seattle, originally from Minnesota, and I work with Earth Ministry there.
Great. Everybody remember everybody's name. We'll practice a little bit more. Well, we'll read the text of the theme, the summer theme, three times. But first, one each time, one at a time, once at a time. So do you know what it is? Yeah, good, Paul. Good.
That's
school.
No, I thought I put a marker in there. Galatians 3, from verse 26 through verse 29. So the first invitation, let's see. Dan, when you find it, would you read it?
Read the passage.
Yeah, 26 to 29, and then the rest of us will listen along. And as you listen, think of what word or image or phrase stands out for you. And then afterwards, we'll have a chance to share.
For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise.
Two would stand up for me. Children and
my particular translation does say sons, and it does say children. Neither Jew or Greek, we're all together.
I think children and heir.
All being part of one big cloak.
Slave and free.
You know what? I don't know if the words were there, but the idea was, so I heard no more.
Oh, Holly, by default.
Just people together, that's the image in my mind.
Beautiful.
Terrific. All are one, the phrase that really stands out. Diane?
Clothed yourself with Christ stands out as well as nor males nor females. Susan.
Clothed in Christ. I love the image of a person draped in white gauze and the sin is gone. They're pure in God's eyes. They're clothed in Christ.
The word that stood out to me was the last one, was the promise. Yeah, I suppose that's the promise from God. He has not.
Well, I was struck on clothes also. But as an aside, I was aware that it didn't say anything about sexual orientation, which certainly wasn't appropriate at the time of this writing, but it seems in today's dialogue of issues in our church that it could well have been included here.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you
pick? Ruth. I agree with Roseanne. No longer stuck out.
Mm-hmm.
No longer has such depth to it.
This time, when we read, listen to the same words again. Everyone went. And ponder what these words have to say to you today for your everyday life.
That's 26. Okay, for in Christ you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise.
The word that really strikes me for today is the idea of inclusion, that there's no cause for exclusion, that all are welcome.
What does that mean for you?
That means that I need to practice hospitality and be looking for times when people feel marginalized, be aware and be ready to invite in and not judge. Who?
I have to pass for right now.
You still get to pick the next
one. I'll go to Mike.
Shoot. I have to pass for the moment as well.
I was really deep in thought. I have to keep doing that for now. Okay, sure, sure, Mike.
I pass to Dan.
What jumped out at me that last reading was that baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. So since I was baptized, it means I do today walk with Christ, and I need to remember that, and to remember my baptism, which for me wasn't as an infant, it was at age 6 or 7, so I was Baptist at the time. So I need to remember that and on a daily basis. Chuck?
I'm still stuck on that slave and free thing, because although Christ has set me free, I enslave myself and I enslave others. In the Exodus story, I might be the Pharaoh instead of one of the Jews, actually. But I have this thing that says, never pay more than you can afford to pay for anything, mentally, physically, spiritually, or socially, nor make anybody else pay more than they can afford to pay, mentally, physically, spiritually, or socially. In other words, really don't enslave yourself and don't enslave others. And the only way we can do that is by claiming what Christ has given us, and God has given us this light. Susan?
Abraham's heirs. I see a wide body of people, like a stream, and they all look the same. I mean, there's no difference. They're all spirits, they're all saints, they're all heirs.
So how does that touch your life? You see yourself in that stream? Or?
No, I didn't get myself there yet. But I feel included in that group. I feel like part of that group. When you separate the Jew and the Greek and the free and the slave, I mean, to me there's no difference. Once they're clothed in Christ and they're all of Abraham's heirs, it's just the stream of humanity that are, I guess I could be included in that if I were feeling, I'm feeling detached looking at it, but I could be there.
Well, I guess differently than Susan, I'm thinking more about the differences among people and thinking about what my time of Holden I might be taking back to my own Presbyterian Church in Champaign, which is the Morelight Church, which is the equivalent of a reconciling church in the Lutheran tradition, and in many ways is very welcoming to different types of people, and yet isn't very racially integrated, isn't very socioeconomically integrated, and so it just makes me think about how more inclusive we can be and what role I need to have in that.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about, and I heard someone else say, you're a baptized child of God and no one can take that away from you. And I think for myself, and no matter what people, you know, think of you, you have that assurance, but also something, an assurance maybe I can give to other people who are feeling marginalized or whatever, but when you're a baptized child of God, you always have that, and that can't be taken away from you.
But I guess I have trouble with the lines about there's no more difference, even though it sounds good, because in my experience, by pretending that everybody's the same, I've insulted and ignored other people in heaven, acknowledged that my world is not their world, nor is it supposed to be their world. And so I kind of struggle, and to me there is an ideal around a commonality in Christ, and yet somehow it seems to get there truly it has to be with personal identity and acknowledging differences. And so I just find how to do the both and respectfully is sometimes difficult. And I just had a phone call last weekend when my daughter was telling me she's dating an African-American guy, and that when she just talks to him, they have lots in common. But if they go to his world, she's not comfortable and feels weird. And so I just think there's tons of implications. That's the closest one right now, of how to acknowledge difference and commonality together. It's not easy.
Thanks. Great.
Roseanne?
Well, that's interesting, and I follow on your comment. The phrase that struck me there was, if you have, it's right at the end about, to me it says that there's some kind of, there's a condition, I mean there's an if in there. And I guess I'm right now struggling with, on who does that condition lie, is it me or something outside of me? And then the connection with what you said is that, so I just recently moved to Seattle, intentionally to the International District, intentionally to put us into a more diverse area. I moved from one of the islands, which was totally non-diverse, but gave me, as an individual person, what I wanted. But Albert's from Vietnam, and I want to give him something richer than was in our island where we lived. And so then I guess I'm stuck with, if the choosing is with me, how do I recognize I'm being presented with a choice? Do I know what I'm choosing ahead of time?
You and I might as well sit together, because that's what was coming out of me, and I think there is a, it all sounds really good. I mean, it's, hey, Jew versus Greek, slave or free, I mean, it's male and female, sounds wonderful. It would be wonderful if we could all be that way. But then, like she said, if's a two-letter word, but it's a really big word. If you belong to Christ, and that's becoming my phrase in that whole, in those verses. That's a. I've sat in on a couple of in fact, it tore my heart out to. I came in here today because I wanted to experience this one, but this one next door has really opened some thoughts about Judaism. and I are over my mind about some things that and that's how those really stick out. Is there somebody that has Paul? I won't pick any advice.
Well, it struck me on the one in Christ and thinking of the my being born into this culture, male, white, and I think I'm being pretty open-minded in recognizing the change in our world, in this culture. And yet, I turn around on that video we saw last night to see the male power, white male power position in the Lutheran Church, not wanting to change the inclusive statements or the law, or whatever you want to call it then. And I know myself, I grew up with the sense that male dominance, even though in my own household my mom ran the house, but still the world was male dominated and business was, and women's roles were very limited and restricted, and I feel like I've been pretty open to it, and yet I find myself being entrapped in that same old way of thinking and the same comfort level. And it's just like it's something embedded in me that is, I think maybe the next generation is going to have an easier go at it than my generation. Well, I know our kids, it's certainly different than it is with me, but it's just something I'm working on all the time, but it's as plain as you can read it. We're all one in Christ, and these differences are just on the surface. And it's hard to break them down. So.
Well, I hope this means an inclusiveness of everyone on the planet right now, that we are all one in Christ. I struggle with the God of the Old Testament, and the Jews chose the Abraham as the chosen one. And does that mean that he didn't love the other people? And I think especially like Joshua and God's name committing genocide. Am I missing something there? I hope that this is telling us today that God does love everyone. And we're male, female, African, Caucasian, Asian, we're all in one. I struggle, why is this a new revelation in the New Testament, but not throughout history?
I don't feel like I have anything to say.
You can pick me.
I'll pick you.
Okay.
This Tuesday, was it the 17th? Is that when the 17th was? This week was the 17th is the anniversary of my baptism. So I was writing it on something and I said, oh, 717 is today. And I hear this, you are all. You are all of you, for all of you. And I think it's kind of funny, and God's got to have a sense of humor that I get invited to be a part of the body of Christ through the Lutheran Church. I think that's kind of fun. But because that's you are all me and all of you, and you and all of me, and not just Lutherans, but you know, the way Christianity is in this country. Gladys was talking about when she went to an
international conference, a Lutheran conference in Brazil. And she looked around and said, huh, most Lutherans don't look like Holden Village, right? They're not mostly from Minnesota. And that, and I think for me, knowing that too, having those kinds of experiences, and saying, what does it mean to have had that, to know different things and to be in a, to be really in many ways a minority, not just because of my ethnic background or my skin color, but in many ways the experiences that we are all members of one another in some way. And we live as a body together. And I have a commitment to you and your life, and you have one to mine, because we're a part of one another, not just a bunch of, not just a collection, but a living being. And that's an awesome opportunity and awesome responsibility. I mean, that's the connection to my baptism. That's my understanding of it, that we became one together. And how do we live that out? And how do I continue to be life-giving to you and find ways that I can be open and risk-taking and vulnerable to the ways that you can be life-giving to me and to, and we to the world?
May I?
Sure.
Take Mike's turn.
Ask him if he'll give it.
I feel kind of compelled to make a comment after I hear some of these things. One of my grandsons is black, or one of my son-in-laws is black. So I have two multiracial children. And in there it says, in Christ, things are this way. But not everyone is in Christ. It's kind of tough to see some of the prejudices that are imposed upon grandchildren or son-in-laws. And one of the most recent was when we leased a condo for a while and went down to the pool and so forth. And the only person they asked if he was a resident was my black son-in-law. So, and I think that's always going to be with us. But I also think it's a blessing to have a multiracial family. And I should add that on the other side, there's Chinese. So when we get together, it's a real United Nations thing. And it's really enjoyable. Mm-hmm. But if you want to talk to them,
there's... Let's hear our passage one more time, and this time really ponder what it is that God is inviting you to through these words. What is God asking of you, challenging you, or inviting you to? What might, just out of the blue, God be asking you to do for this next week or in the next?
You know, I was hoping you wouldn't ask, because I think I can see, but I cannot see very well.
That's why I use the big
I have it in my room if I were to read. Oh, I think I can.
Okay, all right. You can pass.
26
through 29.
Okay. But now that this faith has come, we are no longer under the control of a guardian. No, that's not it.
It's okay. It's just 25. That's fine. It's the next one.
You are all God's children by believing in Christ Jesus. Clearly, all of you who were baptized in Christ's name have clothed yourselves in Christ. There are neither Jews nor Greeks, slaves nor free people, males nor females. You are all the same in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants and heirs as God's promised. As God promised.
I know that one thing I've been wanting to do since yesterday when Dan was in my session and we were talking about this verse is to ask him what this sounds like to Jewish ears. And he and I had a conversation about Jesus being Jewish, but basically Christ being Christian in the way that we think about it and the way that we talk about it. And this next week, I'm going to be working with a conference, a peacemaking conference that's focusing on interreligious dialogue. And most immediately for next week, very intentionally thinking about that, how the blessings that I know of the person Jesus might be shared in a kind and helpful way, and how perhaps some of the less helpful things that we've been used to talking about or inflicting with our more exclusive Christ, maybe if not removed, at least begin some dialogue there. So I think that's what God's inviting me to do. Molly?
Well, with the last reading, I was thinking about my church, but now I'm just thinking about my family, Mitchell and me, and I guess me in terms of being the responsible adult. And ways to broaden our own circle of friends and activities and connections and commitments and relationships so that our own circle has more different kinds of people in it than it does now. Paul?
Yes. I think I'll pass for now.
Susan? A little undefined, but I'll go for it. I think in our church, I'm trying to really bring this home, in our church, it's such, I think of it so idealistically as that we all are brothers and sisters. And it's maybe because we all are the same. You know, there's little diversity within our church, so I haven't been challenged. But we have a black family and we have Indian families and we work in Mexico in the summers and I think of them all as sisters and brothers. I think that the part that I have probably personally and I'm challenged is I fear some people. Like there was a homeless person that lived in the back of the church. We had to ask him to leave. And I don't know how to address that fear, but there's some people that come to church that are either mentally ill, that challenge me more than any person in our church that I've experienced. And in terms of color or creed, I just think that, I still think we're all like brothers and sisters, but I just think there's some people that you have things in common with, and it's uncomfortable to talk to someone that you don't know how to approach. I have a discomfort sometimes for just not knowing what words to say to open conversation with them. But I know I'm afraid sometimes.
That's the first step.
Uh-huh. And I suppose I need to ask myself, what's the worst that could happen? Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's what I would fear is something unknown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Mike.
Well, pass for now.
Well, actually, I was thinking along the same lines as Susan. I'm thinking, for me, it's being able to offer hospitality, like Larry was mentioning. And being able to try to reach out more than I do instead of staying within my comfort zones. Roseanne?
Well, my personal challenge, I guess, is to work on my anger. I'm really angry at Christianity for its divisiveness. And this particular passage with the, well, once you're in, then there's no differences. And that really bugs me and makes me mad. And because I, more than ever in my life, I see that the differences are very important and they're what I feel like gives life richness. So I guess my personal challenge is to, well, I guess to back up, because I also believe that being angry, you know, even if I don't choose to be demonstrative in my anger, something else happens. Something comes out of that that I'm that end product I probably don't want. Or, so the challenge would be that, I don't know, figure out a way to resolve the anger.
Well, I'm angry too, but for perhaps a little different reason. I think that the corporate church and the Lutheran church feeds us a lot of habit. They don't challenge us. They don't let us grow as Christians. They're I don't know how to explain it exactly, but we get to a plateau where we've heard David and Goliath 15,000 times, and David and Goliath doesn't have any meaning, nor does do half the other Bible stories. And it's due to, I believe, the way we lay people think about pastors. We don't encourage them to challenge us. There's a big smorgasbord table out there, but we're over here, you know, eating the mashed potatoes only. It makes me angry. Because we have this big God and Christ and everything, and here we're using a little sliver of what's available. And that's what makes me angry about the church, I guess. So, excuse me. Stacy, you look like you're in the...
No. I went. You could put somebody else.
As for me, God's how I need to do is look in myself and any prejudice that I have to work with Him to kill it. Recognizing people's diversity. But we are all the same as far as love from God. I think specifically, one time I was riding my bike, I do that a lot, riding at home, or towards home on a nice afternoon, and I was going to stop and eat lunch in this park, and it was mostly, well, everyone in the park was African American, and so I didn't feel safe. You know, things like that are the type of thing I need to recognize in myself. And there's a constant battle. pleasant.
Yeah, with me, I understand, and also Susan, closer to home, church and history, the same person. Some prejudices I have, and it really has nothing to do with color or sex. I mean, fortunately, I was raised to be colorblind. My parents did a great job of that, and just nothing to do with sex or anything. But there is just comes from a year's personal experience, a type of person, personality, which just, I would just flippantly say who I would consider wacko, that I don't deal with well, you know, in our church or at work. And it's a challenge for me that I need to take on to realize that they're God's people too, and I need to deal with them and not just blow them off and say, you know, to hell with you, I'm not going to deal with it.
For me, coming to Holden right now, it's like my whole life is an invitation right now. And I think there's kind of two parts for me. My previous experiences in coming to Holden were primarily coming here with other people who were not Lutheran and hearing their observations of being here. I, because my own background is a mixed religious background, and I've been blessed with a lot of other experiences of difference, I really feel invited to try and broaden the conversation here out of some of the comfort zones. I do find very little disagreement in discussions, and a fairly narrow band of dialogue that I hope doesn't replicate what is, to me, one of the tragedies generally in society, is that we cluster in like-minded groups and talk to the other like-minded people and build our own opinion stronger, rather than the idea of a commons where you talked across difference because you were bound together in this body. And I like to think of Holden as a place where that kind of dialogue across difference could be nurtured in safety and respect. And even the simple fact that in my brief experience, there's so little presence of our Missouri Synod brothers and sisters, who are very easy to caricature right now and write off organizationally. And they had once a strong presence here. Mm-hmm. And in their early presence, they were refusing to pray with other people and they wanted to have separate services. And that went through a real thing in the beginning and reached some resolution. Whether it's within the church dialogue, across denominational dialogue, interracial conversation, I just feel that part of what I was blessed with in my own upbringing is pretty deep experience and comfort with difference. And so I really feel invited to stretch things here. And hope that won't get me into too much trouble. but it seems like we've got a lot set up for increasing that kind of conversation. The other side of that invitation to me is the invitation to Christ, that somehow, though I hardly understand him and know what the term Christ encompasses, that for me to sort of avoid just creating controversy for controversy's sake, that I need to deepen my own anchoring and centering in Christ, and that's part of my invitation here, is to go more deeply to that relationship. So it's both of those that I feel called to right now.
Can you invite the next person?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
You have a couple sitting around.
Ruth, Ruth.
Ruth. I was just going to say, you're willing to step off the boat. We learned that this morning. In my situation, I think what this means to me, two things. I failed to sign up to go to the Global Mission Conference at PLU because I didn't want to give up my time. And I should have signed up. I mean, half of me said go and half of me said no, and I went to the other half. The other is our church is really working very, very hard in our community. As I hear people talk about their churches, and think about, we're not an inner city church, but we're just located right outside the inner city, not in the suburbs in Seattle. And we are really working to get the community that surrounds the church involved, which is a giant step. And I can see that that is a place where I could plug in. Love to work in the food bank, that kind of. But I've just got to ask one thing. How did he answer the question about the Jews?
About no, that was one of my things that I'm going to do, is to have that conversation
with him
about this person.
Because that's bothered me forever. Okay. Paul, do you want to still pass?
Well, no, I'll. I feel like my life is pretty lonely, and like the only community I have is the few people I work with, and my friends at church, who I only see at church, and we talked about this together, that we just have to reach out our social boundaries a little bit, and since our kids have grown up and left the house, we just sit around the house and vegetate. Watch TV at night and read the paper and fall asleep. And there's so much opportunity to just have human exchange, and we just don't do it. And so I feel like we need to work at doing something about that when we get back. Who else is left?
Either the pastors or
God. Well, I feel, not sure it's from this passage necessarily, but the recognition of the image of God in everyone, and that therefore we are all called to and have this potential to be free children of God. And that's what I feel called to this week. And perhaps it's a matter of recognizing that potential in others, whoever they may be. And I'd like to be about encouraging that in their life.
Before we close, I wanted to say something about the passage itself and the no longer this or that. And I appreciate, Dan, that you were raised, and I believe you to mean that when you say colorblind, that you didn't make a value judgment on other people. But I hope you see me in a colorful way. And right. And I think too that the distinctions, it's crucial that the distinctions are there, and that if we're going to be alive together, if we just had oatmeal every day, that would be really bad. But that, to remember that it doesn't mean that all of these differences disappear, but that is all of these things that before were problematic or reasons for exclusion are part of the blessing. And I've heard that too, everybody said. But how to expand that
in our own lives and to share that word of promise. Thank you all for sharing deeply from your faith and from your love. And let's spend some time in prayer together. Think of what it is that you want to give thanks to God for. From this moment together, from this week so far. And what it is you'd like to ask God. Either a question or a request. I'll start the prayer and everyone can jump in. You're welcome. You're invited to give voice to your petitions. If not, we'll just leave the space open for conversation, further conversation with God. And then we can close with the Lord's Prayer. Truly you have blessed us, all good and gentle Creator, with lives of abundance and beauty, of rich diversity in our experiences and the people that we love and who love us. I give thanks that in your humor you knit my life with the lives of so many other people, and especially these gathered in this circle here, that we can, through your word and one another's stories, cherish you and one another and this world in which we live even more deeply. I ask you to bless them in each moment of this day as they go on from this place, as they enter into the adventures to which you invite them. Gracious God, be merciful.
Lord, thank you very much for this time with other Christians to learn from them, to be with them, being able to share with each other. Thank you, God, so much for the sunshine. Thank you for this gathering place. Let me continue with my life and continue to learn about you, about myself, and people that I share this planet with.
Lord, thank you for these children of God in this group and in this village. They've added color and texture to our lives. And we may have a new tapestry in our lives that is more devoted to you.
Thank you, Lord, for this community in which I can be challenged and help me as I go out from here to be able to need to work with some of these challenges.
Looking for
thank you, especially for generous and thoughtful and kind young people here at Holden. Please give to those who struggle in discerning their futures a lightness of heart and guidance, and also the courage to be loving among your peers in age, to work for a little while.
To you as your children, gracious God, and we are bold to call you Papa in heaven. Thou art our name, your kingdom come,
your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us from time of trial, deliver us from evil.
Thanks, everyone.